We saw the boost to the Sydney Spring Carnival, but I think that may be only just the start of things. And the Chief Executive of the ATC, Darren Pearce, joins me. Morning, Darren.
G'day, Cozzy.
This has been pretty cool, what's happened so far. Craven Plate, the Ledger, St Ledger, the Lightning, all of these. They've got a decent boost, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. We wanted to build our programs throughout the spring to provide more opportunity for horses that were sprinters, for middle distance and for stayers. And I think we've achieved that. There's also a tremendous three-year-old program for the sprinters into the Golden Rose, the Bortley Wines Golden Rose, and into the for the staying and middle distance three-year-olds into the Mowat and Chandon Spring Champion Stakes. So there's something for everyone.
Interesting, the St Ledger returning for the young ones there. Mark Unum a moment ago said, you know, lamenting that looking for a two-year-old race at the end of the season, a bit longer. And I know David Payne used to look for races like that for some of the young ones he had as well. Is that something that we'll look at when scheduling of races happens in the future, do you think?
We certainly, I heard Mark's interview earlier, and I heard him mention that two- and three-year-old race series that was experimented with. And, you know, that's certainly something that's on our mind. The experiment was to see how it went. We just didn't think that we got the fields that we were hoping for out of that series, but we're always open to suggestions. Mm. James Ross and James Heddo are very accessible guys, and always keen to talk to trainers who've got programming ideas that we can take forward to Racing New South Wales.
Now, Darren, we've seen the financial boost to the spring. Is this going to roll on and continue on now?
It is. Look, the main point to make, I think, Cozzy, is that Sydney Racing and New South Wales Racing has had a funding differential to other states with our taxation regime. And now that Racing New South Wales, through the leadership of Peter Volandis, have achieved the race fields revenues and tax parity, we're going to have increasing revenues over the next 4 to 5 years as those funding streams reach their full potential. With that additional money, we're going to be, certainly from an ATC perspective, and I'm sure from provincial and country and Racing New South Wales perspective, we'll be investing in essential racing infrastructure and prize money and building our race programs and our race series. So I think New South Wales is in a good space from an industry perspective in terms of the money that's currently in our prize money stream. But the plans are for everybody to keep investing and keep building our racing program. So hopefully it's even better as the years unfold.
When you mention infrastructure, what will that cover basically, Darren?
From an ATC perspective, we've got an eight-year program to roll out, you know, as a consequence of you know, race fields only being achieved a few years ago and tax parity only being achieved last year. To keep pace with other states' prize money, we sort of were sacrificing some essential capital expenditure on tracks and training facilities and stables. And we're now in a position, through the hard work that we've done in merger and through the work of Racing New South Wales, to improve industry funding, to substantially invest in our assets, and we're doing that at the moment. We're rebuilding the Kensington track, as you know. We're about to start a $6 million renovation of the training assets at Rose Hill. We've certainly got three or four irons in the fire with stable upgrades, Randwick inner track, the sand track, and the bee grass sort of being looked at for a new synthetic track and a new sort of fibre sand or sand track, and there's a whole range of other programs that are being investigated. And certainly the Kensington track, we've over-invested in the engineering, the drainage, the profile, the particle, how the particles lock together to really be a prototype track for Sydney's climate for the years ahead. And once the Kensington track's up and proven, we'd certainly like to apply that design to Warwick Farm and Royal Randwick's course proper. So, you know, over the next 8 years, there's a massive program, and I probably left an important one out there, Cozzy. That's lights at Randwick. We're really keen to have the Everest under lights in the future, and there's a whole lot of engineering work going on at the moment to make sure that we can get the lights done, and hopefully with the support of the community at Randwick, we can have night racing at Randwick to coincide with light rail arriving and the new Kensington track coming online.
We're in a good spot at the moment, aren't we?
Well, it's certainly no overnight success, Cozzy. It's been a tremendous lot of hard work by a lot of people. you know, the boards and management of the ATC sort of achieving merger and taking the business forward. But pay particular credit to Peter Volandis and John Massar and Russell Balding and the boards at Racing New South Wales, you know, to achieve the race field legislation and now to have tax parity and to, you know, to take the industry forward. That's, you know, you need the funding base to do that. And it's been a long battle, but we're sort of starting to see the fruits of that labour now, and we're certainly in an investment and growth period. And I think racing is cyclical, and, you know, some other states had some great cycles, and New South Wales has now done the hard work to repay the faith of the industry that's stuck with us through the tough times.
I suppose they say imitation's the sincerest form of flattery, and we're seeing other states try to copy, in a way, the championship format for the country and provincial horses.
Yeah, we've noticed that, and that was a tremendous, you know, not just the country and provincial championships final, but the highways. And I noticed that, you know, as part of the spring announcements, Racing New South Wales have put on an anniversary highway worth $200,000. So that program continues, and I've been lucky enough to do a few presentations of highways and be involved in country and provincial championships finals. And it just means so much to the trainers and the owners and the jockeys that come down for those races. So we're delighted we can be a part of it, and long may it continue.
Well, congratulations. Fantastic. And so the spread of money is, the good thing is it's going to those in the provincial and country areas as well. And for those who read fully about the way the Everest is structured, most of that money is generated by those who buy the slots.
It is. It's, the industry's putting in about 2.8 and about 7.2 million from slot owners. So there's a fair bit of new money there. And we had our first event with the slot owners a little over a week ago, and you know, they're so excited about the race and the opportunities, and they love the feedback and the trading that's going on. So it's just building excitement at every level. And for a race in its first year, the publicity and the interest, not just in Australia but globally, is phenomenal. So we couldn't be more excited. 14th of October is not that far away. We're investing very heavily in the event that we're building around the Everest, and it's really exciting to have opportunities like that. But as I said, Cozzy, it's come off the back of a lot of hard work by a lot of people, and hopefully now we can have a bit of fun.
Terrific. Good on you, Darren. Good to catch up. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Cozzy.
Darren Pearce, the Chief Executive of the ATC.